Good morning, Ebenezer, family and friends. It is just so good to be back and to be able to fellowship one with another. If you love the Lord today, can you just give us some hand claps of praise? Lift up those hands on the chat. Could you put some emoticons, some praise hands, just saying thank the Lord for another day that we can connect together. The Lord has been so good. If you see on my backdrop, it says we're on the move Sunday. And oftentimes we tend to share Christ a little bit more on Sunday, maybe when we go out. But I want us to be on the move, not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. Someone brought a topic to me. We had a group and trying to just get in topics for studies that they would like us to go through. And one of them was how to be saved, really looking at the details of salvation. And guess what? We're going there today, and you are going to be blessed. I want to thank you for all your prayers. So much is going on in Ebenezer. He is making us living epistles that we can be his example as we walk through this life. As we're in Black History Month, one of the people I want to lift up today is Rosa Parks. Yes, Rosa Parks. She's known as the first lady of civil rights, and she made such an impact. And I thank God for using people in this life to make an impact on other people's life. As we said, being on the move. Don't forget about everything that's going on at ebcnc.com. We've got Monday manna, different teachings and training sessions. On Tuesdays, on our virtual connection at 12 o'clock, we have our noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis, and it has been a drama. Thank God for His Word. And then on Wednesdays, on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke. Jesus has been resurrected from the grave, and he is making his appearances to his disciples, encouraging them. And then on our Thursdays, this particular Thursday, we will not have Bible study in our sanctuary. It is moved to our next Thursday next week. So this Thursday, no in-person Bible study, but continue to read, continue to pray. Thank you for just your prayers for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and our 10 o'clock online. Lord is doing just so much. And I just want to thank you for your giving, for your support, whether you're giving online or you're giving in our in-person service or sending it into our secure mailbox. We say thank you, thank you. God wants us to purpose in our heart, and He wants us to give not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful, yes, can you put that in the chat? Cheerful, wherever you're standing, sitting, say cheerful giver. And I thank you for all that you've been doing for Ebenezer. We've got some speakers that we're going to be bringing in, and I just want to announce them today. Today in our 10:45 service, we've got Minister Curtis Hampton. He'll be bringing forth the word to the congregation. And then on next Sunday, our 8:45 service, we'll have Dr. John Wayne Howard. He'll be blessing us. One of our ministers connected with Ebenezer. And then at our 10 o'clock online, we're going to have Dr. Barry, Anthony Barry, has a word for us to encourage us. And then at our 10:45 service, we have Pastor Paul Milton will be coming forth with a word to minister to the congregation. And I ask you to be in prayer as we just let God speak to our hearts, and we're being transformed to be more like Him. Well, I'm ready to get into the word for today, but we're going to have a poem by Deirdre Mebane, just honoring this month of Black History. And then we're going to have a time of worship that we can prepare our hearts to receive His word. We'll see you soon.
Hello, everyone. The poem I would like to share is An Uplifting Song. James Weldon Johnson was a very special man, born from immigrant parents from the Bahama land. Encouraged to study English and European literature by his sweet mother, graduated with honors with a bachelor and master's from his alma mater. During his freshman year came a big spark, traveling to the South, learning African American folk tradition to start. James moved to New York to live with his brother John, who was a composer, as James, who wrote poetry, he discovered. James Weldon Johnson created a poem composed into a song. James' brother John composed music to go along. This song was originally meant for President Lincoln's birthday, but the song's adoption changed right away. A choir of 500 children performed this song quickly to African Americans reflects where the song belongs. This song talks of a dark past yet to be forgotten. It raises voices of rejoicing how far African Americans have gotten. It sings of hope for a better tomorrow. It sings of victory and triumph and not all sorrow. This song lifts through blood and tears. It's been sung since created for many years. A song meant for a president's birthday celebration sounds freedom for the black generation. To lift every voice and sing till God in heaven, he will ring. Forgiving the pain, helping us gain all love and support from Jesus Christ, our King. Thank you so much. Be blessed.
Good morning, church. Today, I'll be reading from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the evil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Oh,
Are there any witness down through the year? The Lord has been so good to us. Can you just give God some praise? The Lord is so good to us. I just praise the Lord for getting back to the basics. This is our topic that we have been focusing on. And Lord's just been ministering to my heart. I thank all of those who have been a part of the group. And we had young people and others to say, you know, Pastor, we want to know about some of these things. Being here for such a long, it's Pastor, so many times it kind of cycles through. And I have taught on actually throughout the entire Bible. So it blesses me to be able to dig in deep to these different topics. And one of those topics that we're going to be dealing with today, the subtopic is salvation, how to be saved. We're going to be looking at details, step by step, the salvation process and how Christ touches hearts. But before we go any further, I just want us to go in a word of prayer together. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for this day that you've made. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray right now, if there's someone that's listening, viewing, that doesn't know you, that today be their day, even as we talk about salvation, that their hearts will be convicted so that they can be converted to cry out to your son, Jesus. Lord, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Help them to embrace it's your grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a wonderful gift that you are giving to those who will receive it. Thank you for that, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You're our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word today so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Father, we just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, each Sunday we've been going to a memory scripture, and that's James 1:26 and 1:27. I'm telling you, for the most part, the more we read this aloud, it gets in our mind and it seeps down into our hearts. I'm doing a book of the Bible now that I'm memorizing, and that's what I do on a daily basis. I kind of read through it three times and I write it down. And you know what? Within a couple of days, I've got that scripture and I move on to the next scripture. And so this is what we're doing with this memory scripture as we're getting back to the basics. So if you don't mind, James 1:26, if you would read it aloud with me. If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Good. I'm telling you, when you start living it out, that's getting back to the basics, and God is going to do supernatural things within your life. As we jump into this subtopic of how to get saved, Lord just put a portion of scripture on my heart. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 8, around that 36th verse. Acts chapter 8, around that 36th verse. It reads, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" I want to speak from a title today: Just Do It. Yes, just do it. This particular title actually is inspired. I want to give Nike their props. In 1988, their advertisers came up with this. But actually, from further review, the advertisers came up with "Just Do It," but it actually came from a saying that came from this guy named Gary Gilmore, who was a death row inmate, that said when he was actually at the end of his life, he said, "Let's do it." I found that very interesting, especially as we're talking about salvation, because this is a life and death situation. And I'm encouraging you, if you don't know Christ today, I pray that your heart will be touched and just do it. As we get into this section of scripture, the time frame is about 35 AD. We've got two characters. We've got the Ethiopian eunuch, and we're going to talk more about him a little later. But the one I want to lift up now is Philip. Philip is a deacon within the church. He has been blessed. He's walking full of the Spirit, anointing. He is excited about Jesus, and God is using him so much so he is doing miracles, signs and wonders, blessing people, and he is really taking the good news. If you read through the book of Acts, you see this name come up. Some theologians are kind of like, all right, is this the same Philip? But man, he is blessed with family that's anointed of God. But most importantly, he has a word from the Lord and a relationship that he is willing to share with others. As we jump into this section today, let's see how God can use people who are yielded to him and are willing to just do it. Acts 8:26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise, go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.'" Here's our first point, a word from the Lord. Yes, a word from the Lord. Just in the previous scriptures, before we get to this point, Philip has experienced revival in Samaria. Samaria was known as half-breeds. And I know that sounds bad, but that's what they were known as, not full-blooded Jews. And so they were looked down on, but God brings his grace to them. He is saving souls. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you come from, as long as you can accept the gift that God is giving. The angel of the Lord actually instructs Philip to go to a region called Gaza. Yes, Gaza. Yes, I know some of you are like, man, doesn't that sound familiar? It does, because that's what's going on in Israel. Now, this is not the exact location. It's actually about 60 miles around that Sinai Peninsula is the actual place that we are today, but that name is inspired and there's so much connection. Often God can give us a word and tell us what to do, but so often we want to do it our own way. Any ouches out there? How many times have we heard the voice of the Lord and he wanted us to share a Christ with someone, but yet we got concerned. We were so caught up in ourselves, or we were so busy. Any amen? Sometimes we're going from place to place. It seems like we're running behind to get to somewhere that they're going to be not on time. And all of these things are pressures, and we can miss the journey. Just do it. E.W. Blandy, he wrote this. He said, "I can hear my Savior calling, 'Take thy cross and follow me.' I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. He will give me grace and glory and go with me all the way. Where he leads me," I love this, "I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. I'll go with him all the way." We've just got to do it. Now notice how this unfolds. Acts 8:27. "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia," and this is from the area of Sudan, we're going to talk about that, "a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet." Here's the point. Read the word. Yes, read the word. So God uses Philip. He hears a word from the Lord, and he goes forth to connect to this eunuch. And then we find that the eunuch is reading the word of God. And so those steps, specific steps of salvation, I believe we've got to share God's word with those people that don't know him. That's where our thirst is ignited. And we start to understand that there is a place that we can find truth. Yes, truth. There's so many alternative facts and so many lies and deceptions that are being propagated within our society. But it's so good to know that there's truth in the 66 books. This is a Black History moment. Also, because this Ethiopian eunuch was a Black man, a true Black man from the African area, and he had come here just to hear his pilgrimage, what was going on, and had been touched by all the information that was being dispersed, and he got him a scroll, a literal scroll at that time. They couldn't take out their iPhones or the Androids and pull up up the app and look at the particular scripture. No, he probably purchased a scroll, a piece with Isaiah in it that God had already preordained. And as he's sitting in his chariot, he's reading it through. I'm telling you, we got to read the word. Peterson Toscano, a playwright, actor, and Bible scholar, blogger, and podcaster, he writes this, which really brings up a vivid picture of what's going on. He says, eunuchs in the Bible were typically castrated before puberty, sometimes with their consent, but usually not. Can you imagine that? You had no choice, and someone literally castrates you. Keep that in mind. We're going to deal with that a little later. They retain high voices. They didn't develop body hair or facial hair like men. They looked and sounded different from the men and women around them. They were also mostly single and childless in a world where everyone seemed to be a part of a family unit of some sort. They stood out as loners. Just do it. Can you imagine this eunuch? Yes, he has been elevated to a level of power, a level of authority, but still feeling lonely, still feeling no connection, but he's reading the word. The Ethiopian eunuch has one of the most vivid characteristics. Let me go through it. We learned that he's a foreigner. Also, we get the picture that he is an African. We also, again, he is a eunuch, a castrated male. His life has been changed. He's a rich person. He has his own chariot. He's a member of the royal court under the queen, and he is actually a literate person. This is important because most people during that time could not read. Even Jesus, many of Jesus' disciples could not read. And I'm so glad that God knows how to use us. And those who can read, those who can go through and you can read the scriptures, don't take that for granted, because there's some that struggle. I can't tell you how many people come and thank me, Pastor. Thank you. Thank me for going through the scriptures and explaining the scriptures in Bible study, because they said they don't get the same understanding. But as we read the word, we get a more understanding of it, and God can grow us from the inside out. We also find out that this Ethiopian eunuch, he's a person of faith. He is applying his faith to really receive who Jesus is. And the question that I leave with you, are you reading the word? Saints of God, the word of God is God breathed. It's inspired. It's powerful. It's like a sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it really opens and lays bare the heart. This is the key to the salvation process. Look at Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Just do it. Here's the point. The time is now. Yes, can you put in the chat now? N-O-W. The time is now. Now, this is a critical thought, because Philip hears the voice of the Spirit, and in a split second timing, he has to connect with this chariot. I want to speak to you right now. I really believe that it's all about God's timing. And there's some time when he tells you to turn left, you need to turn left. If he tells you to turn right, you need to turn right. If he tells you to stop, you need to stop, because God is up to something. Do not override the Spirit. I cannot tell you how many on 911, I gave you that example some Sundays ago about that lady who had the nosebleed, but how many heard the voice of the Lord, don't go to work today, you need to take a day off, and they were able to avoid tragedy, all because they were able to listen to the word of the Lord. And it's the same way with the saints. We've got to hear God's voice, and we've got to give that word to those that are around us, because we never know who is on their way to hell, but a word from the Lord changes everything. There ought to be some praises out there. Just do it. We have so many opportunities to minister to others and others to minister to us, and we've got to realize the time is right now. Just do it. So many are lonely and confused. I'm so glad for Jesus' word in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me. Can you put in the chat? Me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love that. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest I'm a worker today. Can you put rest in the chat? Because he continues to say that. Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just do it. Looking closely at that Acts 8:29 again. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chair. Oh, what a day to be in tune with God's Spirit and to be guided by the Spirit of the Lord. And he knew. Now this is crazy. This is like going up to somebody's car and just open up the door and jumping in. You just didn't do that. You know, you could be hurt. He had to have some people that were around him at this point. But notice here, because Philip hears the voice of the Lord, the timing is right. And God can open up doors that no one can shut. Aren't you glad for a God that can give us a word of just do it? Are you willing to hear the voice of the Spirit? Jesus said this about listening to him in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. In that Philip, he is following the voice of the Lord. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I just do it. Saints, the Spirit of God is speaking to us in this season, in this time. The time is now to share the good news about salvation. God is still opening up hearts and adding to the flock as he sees fit. Look at Acts 8:30. Just do it. So Philip ran to him. I know. Can you just put ran? Because you see the movement. He is excited to be used. And when he hears the voice of the Lord, it was no casual stroll. It was like, okay, Lord, I gotta be right here, because he had been used before. And because he's been used before, he is blessed to be used again. He ran and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. I'm telling you, he's walking beside in our everyday vernacular, the car right now. And now the person looks over as they're at the stoplight, say, get in. That is crazy, right? Here's the point. Get understanding. Yes, get understanding. Now, remember the scroll. He has a scroll. This Ethiopian eunuch, he's sitting up in the chair. He's reading through it. And because it's open air, Philip, at split a moment, he's able to run up. He's able to hear what's going on. God is putting all that. And he goes, do you understand what you're reading? As the chariot is still moving. So this is wonderful. I hadn't really thought as deep on this. But Philip had great cardiovascular help at this point, because he's able to run a little bit to stay honest. Some of y'all want to encourage you. God wants to use all of you. Get yourself in shape so that you can share the good news. We've got to just do it. Notice this, Acts 8:30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? So he's running along beside the chariot. He's able to talk to him, ask him, does he understand? This is so important, getting back to the basics. There are many people that just don't understand. They've been brought up in the church, but they didn't understand what the pastor was saying. Maybe it was high level, or maybe it wasn't broken down enough, or maybe they weren't paying attention, but they just didn't understand. But I want to encourage you, just do it. If God is speaking to your heart and he is opening up his word, don't take that for granted. We must make sure people understand. Yes, sadly, we can quickly forget what we've been taught. Any amens out there? How many times have you lost something? Your glasses that were on your face and they were on your head, now you just didn't know where they are. How many times we laid something down, we saw it, but we went away and forgot that particular thing? How many times have we picked up in things in school and we studied over and over, but once we took the exam, we dropped that information? And so we have to cycle back and forth so we can get it deep on the inside of us so that we never lose it. Here he says, do you understand? Now, Philip, as he hears this, I love this, the words coming up. I can see a smile on Philip's face, like, I know that. I've read that. I understand that. And the Spirit of God is also moving on the inside of him as he's hearing this Ethiopian read aloud. Can I just stop here just briefly and talk about reading aloud? This is a lost art. In our society, you know, everyone is reading. They're going through their social media streams, but rarely do you hear people reading things aloud. There used to be a time that, you know, families would sit around and they didn't have all of this TVs and internet capabilities, and they would actually read books. Yeah, real books, not just books that were on your phones, but real books that had binders to them, and they would go through. I remember some of my earliest blessings of spending with my family were reading the Bible. We had a physical Bible, and the kids would sit around in the room, and each night we would actually read aloud. We would go around. Bianca, my wife, would read a paragraph or a verse, and then Tabitha would read a verse, and then Philip would read a verse, and then Joy would read a verse, and then Sarah would read a verse, and then Benjamin would read a verse, and all of them actually learned how to read fluently because we read through the Bible over and over. We went through the Bible as a family together, reading it aloud. I remember my wife used to take them to the library, and there was a person that was there that would read books aloud, and I would sit with them sometime and just listen to the books. The kids were so attentive. They were quiet. They weren't running around anywhere, but their imagination was sparked. They were into the book that was being read, and here is the same thing as the Ethiopian is reading it aloud. Philip is hearing it. The connection is making here. Romans 10:17 even brings this up. So then faith comes by hearing. Put it in the chat. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Just do it. Notice as the story unfolds to Acts 8:32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Here's the point. The other man. Yes, the other man. Well, as we look at our contemporary Bible, it actually has chapters and verses. At that time, there were no chapters and verses. It was a scroll, as said before. You just had letters and created words that would be going down in the scroll, and they would read through that. And this Ethiopian eunuch, blessed to be able to read, he starts asking questions. Who is this person? This is actually from Isaiah chapter 53, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. The eunuch, it literally wants to know, is this Isaiah that he's talking about, or is he talking about the other man? Can you put in the chat, the other man? The eunuch has a backstory that we don't often talk about. Yeah, because he was probably castrated early in life, he had memories of that, most likely of being taken into a room and doctors coming and actually taking out a portion of his sex organs. Can you imagine going through that? And it seems at that time anesthesia, they didn't have it like we had. There had to be immense pain, and he didn't have a decision or a choice in it. Someone else chose to do this to his body. He knew what pain was about. He knew what trauma. I know he needed some time to lay down on the couch for somebody to unfold, unpack these things. But he'd had to deal with this his entire life, of being lonely, of being an outcast, of being not connected with a family. Even though he had power, even though he had authority, there was a longing and a distance in his soul. He could identify with Acts 8:32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. I'm telling you, I can see a flashback. I can see a flashback as he goes back to his early life, and maybe tears are coming down his face. I'm feeling this, thinking about the pain and that he's gone through, and the struggle that he didn't have a choice, what took place in his life and what he experienced through recovery. He says somebody else went through pain. Somebody else had to go through struggle. Somebody went through something, and it seemed like he didn't open his mouth. I need to know who this other man is. Whatever pain you're going through, can I speak to you? Whatever the situation is right now, no, whatever the disease is attacking your body, no matter the relationships that have been broken, no matter what you've gone through in the past, no matter if you've been molested, no matter if you've been abused, no matter if you've been cast away, I want you to know there's another man. There's someone that says, just do it. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. Please know that Jesus identifies with you. Yes, he identifies you. He is that other man that we talk about so often. The contemporary version actually brings this Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. I love it. He suffered and endured great pain for us. But we thought his suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking on our punishment, he made us completely well. I tell you, that's some good news. Just do it. Just do it. Now look at this. Acts 8:35. Walk with me. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Here's the point. Preach Jesus. Yes. Preach Jesus. Preach it. Just do it. Just do it. Christ is the only one that can transform men's and women's hearts, boys and girls. He's the only one that can do it. We can use logic. We can read. We can bring our best arguments. But please, it all comes down to there's a mama, there's a grandma that's been praying from your grandbaby or praying for your child, praying for your husband, praying for your wife. Keep on praying. But only God, only Jesus, preach Jesus. He's the only one that can change the heart. Philip sees this opportunity and begins at that present scripture that's been given to him, and he begins to explain the word by the aid of the Holy Spirit. I can only imagine as they took the journey together through those scriptures, through that piece of scroll, and they got to Isaiah chapter 56. They probably had that whole book in a sense of the scrolls, and they went through it, and in Isaiah 56, something happens. I'm telling you, when you read this, is going to bless you. This eunuch who was broken and brittle had lost so much in his life. I can see Philip and they're reading through and they come to Isaiah 56 and 3. It says, do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people, nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. I can see the Ethiopian. All of a sudden, he's like, it's talking about me. It's talking to me. You mean to tell me they're eunuchs in the Bible? You mean to tell me that this other man, this Jesus, the Christ that you're sharing with me, he has something to speak for me in my life? Isaiah 56 and 4, but thus says the Lord, listen to this, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold my fast, my covenant, Isaiah 56 and 5, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place. Can you put in the chat a place, a place, a place, and a name better than that of sons and daughters? I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. I'm telling you, I could praise it, and we could run around our rooms right now and lift up our hands to know that God in his providence had already set that scripture together, that Ethiopian eunuch would read it with Philip at the right time and it would bless his heart. Have you ever been there that you open up the scriptures, maybe you open up your phone, brought up the app, and the scripture was right there for you that ministered you in the nick of time? Just do it. God is just like that. Oh, what joy must overwhelmed him. Oh, the tears that must have came down his face. I'm telling you, just do it. One of our members, Cookie, she actually brought this up. She says, God is so good to us even through our most hardest and deepest struggles. She said it to me some years ago, and it stuck with me. There should be some testimonies out there at what God has done for you. Anybody got a testimony? If I could give you the mic right now, I bet you could blow it up and say, Pastor, let me tell you what God has done for me. There ought to be some of you that are going through right now. You could say, you know what, I don't like where I am, but let me tell you what God has already done. And if he did it then, he can do it again. That there ought to be some people say, just do it. But when we look back over our life, aren't you glad that God has never left us nor forsaken us? I'm so glad for Ken Carr. He said that for every mountain you brought me over, and for every trial you see me through, for every blessings, hallelujah, for this I give you praise. Just do it. Any praises out there? Look at Acts 8:36.
Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Just do it. Just do it. Acts 8:38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Here's the point. The symbol of baptism. Yes, the symbol of baptism. I want us to stay here just a bit because this is so important. The Ethiopian eunuch has had an encounter with Christ. Yes, as he's riding along in the chariot, Philip is giving him understanding. He's already had his encounter and he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And the salvation process has already taken place in his heart. It is producing some works that are coming on the outside. Romans 10:8, he recognize this, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is what the Ethiopian has done. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever, can you put in the chat, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. I know he's blessed at this point. He's already seen eunuch in the Bible, and he said, there's no difference. Even though I'm from Africa, even though I didn't grow up here, even though I don't have that Jewish lineage, I've been messed up. I would have been pushed away from the sanctuary of God because of my issues with my body, but now there's no difference between Jew and Greek. But the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. I love this 13th verse. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just do it. Notice that Acts 8:38 again. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. He said, hold up, stop. Those that are around him, they have to stop. And I know, I believe somebody else got saved. We just don't have that focal lens on. But the Ethiopian says, stop it. There's water right here. And both Philip and eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Now, I want to bring out something. I know some of my brothers and my sisters believe in different ways of baptizing. But here it clearly is immersion. They go down into the water, which physically shows the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I can see Philip as he takes him down under the water. God is already working in his heart, but he doesn't leave him there. He brings him back up. Water is coming down. I can see him lift up his hands. I can see him say, hallelujah, thank you, God, just do it. But notice Acts 8:39 as we sum this up. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Final point, miracles. Yes. Miracles, just do it. Miracles. Immediately, as they come up out of the water, the water is still fresh on the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. God does something. It seems to indicate in the scriptures, notice here that 39th verse, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit, capitalized, of the Lord caught Philip away. It seems when he came up, the Spirit translated him. Yes, the Spirit picked him up and said, you know what? We got to get you there. You don't have time to get on another chair. You don't have time to ride on a horse. You don't have time to fly on a plane. They didn't have it at that time. You don't have time. But what I'm going to do, something supernatural. The Wright brothers, they're not going to come with plane travel until many years later. But let me show you something, what God can do. He picks up Philip and takes him away. He called him up. And it's so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Can you imagine the eunuch looks over and said, where's Philip? Where's the man that took me down under the water? But God didn't want him to get hooked on Philip. God wanted him to stay hooked on Jesus. So he takes Philip away. Just do it so that Philip can share the good news with somebody else. Philip appears at Azotus. I can imagine as Philip finds himself, and now he's like, where I was with the eunuch. Now God has moved me on. That's what God wants to do, more miracles. The miracle of salvation has taken place. And then God does a miracle with the one that shared the good news. There ought to be some saints that God use me for your glory. And now he goes to the old Philistine city of Ashdod, some 20 miles north of Gaza. God has him on the move. From there, he proceeds to Caesarea, and he's preaching the good news. He is on fire because he knows a God that can do supernatural stuff, miracle working power. Do you know a God like that? Just do it. But it's all about not missing the moment. It's all about being used of the Lord. We can't miss the opportunity because of fear. We are afraid of being talked about. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul really sums up what salvation is all about. Just do it. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Are there any amens out there? That's why it's so important to embrace what Jesus the Christ did for us by going to the cross of Calvary. He carried our sins and bore our griefs. But the story is not over. If you just let me give you a few more scriptures, on that cross of Calvary, God does something. There are two thieves that are there. One of them stays in his state of on his way to hell. But one of them looks at Jesus and said, you're not like us. Just do it. There's a moment of desperation, realizing that he can't save himself. He can't deliver himself. But the other man, that there's a man on the cross of Calvary that can do exceedingly abundantly above what he could dare ask or think. Luke 23:39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, can you put in the chat, other, answered and rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Oh, Jesus dies on the cross. They put him in a cold grave. But I'm so glad to tell you, just do it. Oh, he doesn't stay there forever. He stays there for 3 days. He gets up with all power and all glory. And do you know that thief that came in at the last moment? He's with the Lord in paradise. Do you understand what salvation does? When we call on the name of the Lord, he changes us forever. Just do it. Maybe you're out there and you're like, I don't know Jesus like that. Well, I want you to know God can touch you right where you are. Yes, even though we're using this platform of technology to reach out to you, I want you to know it's not about me. It's about the Spirit of God. I taught, and you saw what he did with Philip. His Spirit is everywhere. Where I am, it's there in your room and on your job. All you got to do is cry out to Jesus. Believe that he is Lord. Believe that the Father raised him from the dead with all power and glory. And guess what? Even right now, the scriptures indicate that he is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for a nation that has found itself astray. He's praying for the world where so many do not know who the real Lord and Savior is. His name is Jesus. If God is touching your heart right now, I encourage you, cry out to him. Hey, say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and you will be saved. Would you do that right now, wherever you are? We're going to pray with you. But I want to encourage you, even after that prayer, here in our online community. But I encourage you, would you connect? Would you connect with a physical fellowship? It talks about not forsaking the fellowship of the saints. And yes, this is an outlet, and it's blessed so many. You need to connect. You need to have a testimony. You need to go forth and say, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. I wish I could baptize online. I do. I wish I could reach out to you and take you underwater, but I can't. But you can. You can find a church family where you can go to that pastor, the leadership, and say, I've accepted Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior, and I learned about that Ethiopian eunuch. Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And you can go through that symbol of baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection, and identify and just do that which God has placed in your heart. To the saints, I want you to be used today. The time is now that you can share the good news with your family, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, that you can let them know Jesus is still alive and well. Just do it. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for saving souls. I thank you for adding to the body as you see fit. I thank you for these scriptures today. God, thank you for giving us detail, giving us this insight into this Ethiopian's life, Lord, into Philip's life and their encounter, their intersection of lives. Oh, to see how you and only you can save souls and bring them to the knowledge of the truth. I pray for those, Lord, that have been saved today, that have accepted you as your Lord and Savior. And now, Lord, I ask you, would you give them the thrust? Would you give them the vigor to go out and find a church family that they can identify with, God, and they can confess that they got saved. They accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And now is time for that symbol of baptism where they can be immersed and they can come up fresh and say, I'm rejoicing because I know who Jesus is. Thank you, Lord. I pray for the saints, Lord, that we be invigorated to share the good news more and more. The time is now. We are on the move for you. Thank you for who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Alas, and it.